Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hope everyone is doing well today. And that song we sang, The Lord Reigns, as we were singing that song, I was thinking, praise the Lord that He reigns and not me. Holy cow. Praise the Lord that He is the one. I've been thinking a lot this week about the Lord has been correcting me on things, and praise the Lord for His correction, because He corrects those that He loves, and I am in need of correction. And I'd like to go first to Philippians 2. I'm going to need that in a second. Philippians 2, let's see, verse 3. Thank you, Ab. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There, sometimes in my week, this week, there's been that kind of vainness and vainglory that has come upon me. And I'm working on putting that off, and the Lord is showing me places that I never saw before that is happening. And I praise Him for that correction. And it has not been a feel-good week for me. So, praise the Lord on that, because it's not about feelings. It's not about any of that. We fall short and we get caught up in these trivial matters that go on in our lives that don't matter. And that's pride and that's unbelief. And we struggle because we see different things in the flesh than what we should see in the Lord and what is in the Lord. And we need to realize that the blood of Jesus is all that we need. It's not about us and our failings. We fail every day, and we just need to rebuke those failings and go forward and forget about those things. And remembering that we can't disappoint God, but we can please Him through our faith in Him and putting ourselves aside and putting our eyes singly on Him. And choosing to believe Him and exercising our faith. And we get joy when we do that. We get joy when we put our eyes on Him and not on ourselves. And I find when my eyes are on myself, I do not have joy. There's no joy in my flesh. There is joy in the Lord. And we sing that song, there's joy in the Lord. There's love in the Spirit. There's hope in the knowledge of Him. So that's what I've been working on this week, is casting off all those contrary thoughts that are contrary to the Lord, and making it a habit to lean on Him and have grace unto others, because don't we want grace for ourselves? Don't we want people to have grace on us when we screw up? I know I do. I need it, and I need that mercy of the Lord. There's a song that we've been working on, and it's called In the Light by DC Talk. And we've been working on it, and we're going to be singing it soon once we've practiced it with me, because I didn't make it to music practice this week. but the words are striking to me, and I'm going to read the words to you. I keep trying to find a life on my own, apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh, Lord, be my light and my salvation, because all I want is to be in the light. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring the sickness under control. Honesty becomes me. There's nothing left to lose. The secrets that did run me, your present in your presence, are diffused. Pride has no position and riches have no worth. The pain that once did cover me has been sentenced to this earth. Which reminds me of another verse. That's in Romans 7. Talking about, let's see, is Romans 7 going down to... starting at 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that is the hope that we have, is in Jesus Christ, not in putting off that flesh every single day. And that is the fight currently for all of us. And it is a fight. It's a daily fight. And this week has been, I have succeeded and I've failed. I've failed in that I have, once again, the flesh has condemned me. So what? Jesus is there to give me that grace, and I praise him for it. And everything that testifies against me, I'm rebuking it and going forward and not listening to that little voice in my head that tells me this or that about me, because who cares? It doesn't matter. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We've got to share this stand over here, Karen. Sorry about that. You can put it up here for the moment if you want. That way you don't have to take it too far away. I was, it had been a couple different thoughts that have been running through my head this week. And it was funny, this morning I was, went down and I exercised, which really stinks. I don't know about you, but I like doing things, but I hate exercise. what kind of provoked me to do it today, and I want to share it with you from a perspective here, is I sit at a desk all day long, 5 days a week. sitting at a desk. And it's amazing. I can sit at my desk and work all day long, and I'm okay. I can stay focused. My butt doesn't hurt. Everything seems to be, my body seems to be well greased for sitting at a desk, flapping my tater trap and moving my fingers. And then on Saturday, then I have to get up from sitting behind that desk. And I don't know about you, but it seems to get harder all the time to freaking just get up out of that chair. And of course, when it's hard to get up out of that chair, it then makes me not want to do things because they're hard too. And I was thinking about this. There's a saying people have out here in the world with respect to your physical body. They say, use it or lose it. Right? You guys have heard that, I'm sure, at some time. And today the Lord quickened to me a thing. The same is true in Him, but it's not about bodily exercise. And we'll turn to Luke 19 and go over there. And I'm pretty sure it's 19. So let me see which verse we are. All right, we'll begin over at verse 11 when you get there. And the hope I want to hit on here before I kind of go into Luke 19 here for a moment, it's the hope we have on all things. I mean, last week, if you remember, Charlie was talking about an onion. I followed up with him a little bit about an onion. And the song that Karen was quoting from is a little bit about an onion. And it's from this perspective, folks. We got layers, kind of like in Shrek, the donkey or whatever. Shrek's got layers, and we've got layers. And the problem is as the different layers of that onion come off, we always think it's the last layer, that what lies underneath is somehow going to be better now. It's going to be all right. And it was interesting, and I hadn't known this, but after the meeting last week, I guess Robin mentioned to Davey how, think about an onion. You know where an onion starts to go bad?
In the center.
In the center. It starts to go bad in its core. And the thing about us, and this is the offense of the gospel that we struggle with, is that we keep thinking when the next layer of that onion's taken away, it's going to be done. And then we find that, it is all the way to the core. Through and through we have to get rid of it. And that can be... to pride, acknowledging that truth, it is to pride the worst, the last thing pride ever wants to do. But humility is quick to recognize that. And what's the amazing thing is that when you're quick to recognize that and you receive that truth and you recognize that there's nothing there to be saved, is that now you get to walk in that new life that Christ has for you. You get to walk in that new life. What did He say? I have come that you may have life and that more abundantly. He says, the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that thou may have life and that more abundantly. And that more abundant life that we get to partake of is we get to partake of His life. But in order to partake of His life, you have to give up yours. You can't have it both. You can't have it both ways. And so over here in Luke 19, we'll begin with verse 11, and it says, "And as they heard these things, He added and spake a parable, because He was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." He's talking to the Jews here, obviously, and the Jews were looking to be justified, and the Jews were looking for God to establish His kingdom, get rid of the old Romans, and show how we're better than everybody else. And of course, That wasn't the plan, but they didn't realize that. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Now I want you to understand the word hate here has nothing to do with feelings. Zero. See, and this is one of the points that in the scripture people really get off because, see, just like love to us has all been wrapped up in feelings, how we feel about a person, how we feel about what they say to us, how we feel about how they treat us, how we feel about everything, that's what we think of as love. And of course, that has nothing to do with the love of God. Zero, zilcho, nada. Not a single thing. So the love by which you have judged every bit of love in your entire life is cursed and wrong. And just like that's true in love, it's also true in hate. See, the hate here, all it means is they preferred their things over his things. That's all it meant. That's all it meant. All it meant was they preferred doing their own thing to doing his thing. That is the nobleman's thing in this instance. So let's go on. But his citizens hated him. They preferred their own thing and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And the second came, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now I want to underscore the word faithful. I just want to underscore that. Faithful. See, he was doing what his master had said. He was faithful by the act of doing. See, it says, you know, those that it talks about be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Remember this from the perspective of use it or lose it, because that's where I'm going to come back to on this. Right? And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Now, first of all, I want you to understand this is many people's perspective of Christ and the church. This is many, 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 many people's perspective on it. You know, one of the best ways to see it is to see it when it comes to finances. Just listen to people out of their own mouth about ministers and their finances. You know how people like their ministers to be? Poor. Let their ministers be poor. Let all the ministers be poor. And let the people be rich is the way people want it. You know why? Because then they can put down, they can control, they can tell that minister what to do. That's how they like it. They don't want to acknowledge that the minister is greater than they are. And therefore, they ought to do what that minister says. They like the minister to be pitiful. That's why we got limp wrists for ministers around this country. They like ministers who are pitiful, who they can control. And it goes on here, and it says, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound. Are we still broadcasting?
No.
You still recording?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Now I want you to understand, and this is so common as well. Here the Lord is taking the pound from the one who laid it up in the napkin and giving it to whom? One who has the most of all. And the people are offended. They are offended. That's why the parenthetical is there. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. They're offended. See, and the reason why they're offended is because of covetousness, folks. It's how we are. It is how we are. Those who seem to get, we want to see them fall. We want to see things taken away. We think they have more than they deserve. It's not how the Lord looks at things. Not in his kingdom. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. This is the answer. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now I share this with you. If you remember how the Lord gave every man the same measure of faith. It means, Raul, you don't have any more faith than me, and you don't have any less. It means there's not a person on this earth who has more or less faith than me or than you. But what do we choose to do with our faith? And where do we choose to place our faith? See, the only way that faith works is by what? By love. That's right, only by love. And how do you show your love of God?
Obedience.
By your obedience. What was the first servant doing? He was obeying. What was the last servant doing? Nothing. And so what happened is God took from the one that which he had, and he gave unto the other. And see, the issue about the use it or lose it thing, what happens to us as believers? You know, something happens in the beginning where we receive Christ. There's some spark of faith that comes. It could be something somebody says, it could be something somebody does, it could be any of a number of different things. And there's that little spark of faith. And we're born again. And we see that God is true. Then what happens is, as we go forward and we begin realizing, for example, that we're the onion, right? And every layer, there's another layer underneath. And then you get down to the core and you realize, even at the very core, it's bad, and you got to get rid of that too, so that there's nothing left to hang your hat on to justify yourself by other than what Jesus Christ did for you. And what happens is we get offended at this. We get offended. We repent not in places. And so what happens is, as we repent not, and we begin experiencing things that we then don't like because God can't honor it. He can't honor it. And we experience these things that we don't like, we then get upset with God. Why aren't you doing this? Why isn't this working the way I thought it was going to work out? We start having these kinds of things. Yeah. We start getting offended at this stuff. And we end up finding him an austere and hard man who, he reaps what he did not sow, and all of these other things. We see him as being one who is not right. He may be a judge. He may ultimately be these things, but he is not the loving God we thought he was. And the reason why we're coming to that conclusion is because we're judging his love by our feelings. How we feel about the love we're receiving. We judge it by that, and we find fault with it, and we get offended. And I share this with you, folks, because what ends up happening in that place is you end up, it's kind of like a rusty joint, if you will. You know what I'm saying? The rusty joint, it doesn't function like it's supposed to and everything, and it's you can hear it grinding and all these other things, and it hurts when it goes into action. But the beauty is that there is a thing called grease or oil, depending on the type of joint that you're using, which is the grace of God, which can be applied if you will humble yourself to realize God's not the one with the problem. You're the one with the problem. And when you realize that God's not the one with the problem, but rather you're the one with the problem, now you can repent. And when you repent, you have the opportunity that grace of God is applied. And that joint that would not seem to work, all of a sudden starts working again. And you can get up out of that chair and you can walk that walk of faith that you began once, but somehow or other got off course at some point. And I can tell you, to do it, it hurts. It hurts. And the reason why it hurts is couplefold, but probably most importantly why it hurts is because it means you got to get shed of all of the excuses and justifications you've had for why you're right and these other people are wrong. Because usually, you know, we're not courageous enough to say, Lord, you're wrong. But where we find our fault is in those servants of his who he sent to share with us his love. They're the ones who are wrong. And we don't like them anymore. And we don't like hearing what they have to say anymore. And we don't really want to go around them and hear it. That ever happened to anybody? Anybody ever have that experience? And the fact of the matter is nah. That's a lie. That's a lie. And what we have to do is we have to humble ourselves to receive, and then we have to do a thing, a very important thing. We have to step out again in faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if you won't step out in faith, if you're waiting for the sign, if you're waiting for this, you're going to be waiting a long time, folks. You're going to be waiting a long time. But if you will choose to yet step out in faith again, God will move. God will move. And I don't care how decrepit you've gotten. I don't care how you know, the things that at the beginning, you know, you're praying for the sick, you felt like you could do it, you'd lay hands on people and things like this, and God would move, and then now you've kind of drawn back, and you're a little afraid because of, you know, the last few times it didn't work, and this, that, and that. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about any of that. Because what you find when you really get down to it, and this is the part we don't like to, this is that kind of core in here, that onion that's rotten that we don't really want to get down to. A lot of times the praying for the sick or these different acts are really not about the Lord. They're about us. They're really not about loving others. They're about wanting to exalt ourselves. And so, for our sakes, God does not honor our presumption and pride. And therefore, things don't happen the way in which we had anticipated them happening. And this is why it begins. The first step is repentance. The first step is realizing it's not God who's at fault. It's not that minister who's at fault. It's not my neighbor or my wife or my husband or my parents. None of these are the people who are at fault. It's me. And I apologize, Lord. And that repentance that comes first so that you can get shed of those old ways and begin going forward in the new. When you then step out in faith, God will be there and you'll see him. And if you step out and you fall, what is grace for? To cover us, to give us the strength to get up again. See, when you believe God, when you believe the grace of God, you'll get up and try again. But when your pride has been wounded and it's about you and how you feel and about you being something, you'll not get up. You'll sulk in the corner. That's what you'll do. And you come up with the 16 million reasons why the other people who seem to be doing better, they're not really better. Breeds resentment, as Carrie says, and the like. So I just say this because, look, I know in the fellowship, just like me getting out of that seat, I know that there are people who, to exercise themselves in faith again, is painful. Don't really want to do it. Figure you've already done enough of it. And it should be better than it is. And I'm telling you, get shed of such thoughts. Just get shed of them. Cast them down, trot them under the foot, apologize to the Lord for them, and say, all right, Lord, whatever time left I have here, whether it's a day, whether it's an hour, whether it's 10 years, whether it's 60 years, what difference does it make? The time I have is yours. I want to serve you. I believe in the sufficiency of your grace. I believe in the power of thy blood to wash away all my sins, to make me whiter than snow. I know that the Spirit of God is not earned by how great I am, but it's a free gift of God to his children who ask of him. And that Spirit renews me every single day. Renew me, Lord, and give me strength to go forward and serve you. And God will respond. He will respond, folks. And you will see that that walk that you had always hoped and was a big part of you coming and being a part of this fellowship, you'll begin to partake of. And as you begin to partake of, you get momentum going. And you want to partake more, and you want to partake more, and you want to partake more. And you're going to hit some rough times. Not because you've done anything wrong, but because there's always resistance to the truth. When in the scripture where Karen was saying, when I would do good, I find what? Evil is present with me. Why? Because the evil wants to stop the good. But can it? No, not if you will walk by faith in love. There's no force on this earth that can stop that. None at all. Amen.
keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do.
Thank you for joining us, and may the Lord bless you.